You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, and welcome to another live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, December 14th. We're no longer just inching towards Christmas. We're sprinting toward it, as is evident with our musical selections at the top of each segment, playing some festive songs of the season this evening, and then next week, the final program we'll have before Christmas will be going back into the spiritual carols of the season of hope, faith, family, and love, and of course, Keith Alexander by my side here as we kick off the program. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be in later this evening, but certainly we feel everything that Christmas is meant to be in the relationship that we share with our audience, from whom Christmas cards have been pouring in to Memphis from all over the world over the course of the last few days, and we hope that that will continue, because folks, you'll just never know. I've said it a million times, but I can never say it enough. You'll just never know how much you mean to us in every way imaginable. I got a letter here, just one that I'd like to read. It was a handwritten note that came in, 2 pages long, and so I'll read it quickly, but it's just, I mean, what can you say? Here's what it reads. To my radio family at the Political Cesspool, and you can see this listener refers to us as family, as we refer to you. Although we've never met, I feel a kinship with the hosts of the Political Cesspool. I laugh with you and mourn your losses. I've been listening to the show since 2007, and can't imagine getting through my week without it. I've never heard a show on the radio like yours before and was blown away the first time I did. When I listen in traffic, I find myself shouting in agreement and pumping my fists. Every host seems to offer something unique. I really enjoyed Bill's insight, particularly the way he handled religious topics with guests, and Winston Smith's dry wit and sarcasm when cutting through the bull while covering current events is priceless. Then there's Eddie. The Bombardier is like the favorite uncle that everybody has. His life experiences and stories, while of a serious nature, are entertaining nevertheless. It's impossible not to like the Bombardier. Now we get to Keith Alexander, or Keith Alexander the Great, as he is appropriately nicknamed. Have you ever heard someone you agree with and said, "You took the words right out of my mouth"? Well, with Keith, it's usually just, "Wow, I wish I could have said it that way." Keith is a wordsmith. He uses words like a Gaelic warrior uses a claymore. What a weapon in the battle for truth that guy is. And last but not least, there's James. James is like my favorite nephew. Without James, the cesspool wouldn't be. It's James's personality that holds the show together, how he manages to cover hard-hitting news stories that are of such seriousness and context and consequence to our people, while leaving me laughing or smiling at the end of the show. It's one of the many things that set the Political Cesspool apart from every other program out there. Thank you for being my voice. Keep up the good work. And that comes in from a listener, Keith, that is writing to the program for the first time, though he's been listening for 6 years now. And, you know, we've said it in the past, but the fact that our audience not only listens to the show for the political commentary that we deliver, but also can relate to us as individuals and can pick out the different personality quirks of each of the hosts, it just makes the bond that much tighter. It's a bond that's tighter than steel cables, a band of brotherhood. And at Christmas time, it's even more pronounced.
Yes, people, and you're going to see a Christmas card on the blog roll this week that ought to really bring that into focus. It's so wonderful to get letters and correspondence like that. It shows that people are really listening and really appreciate what we're doing. since we're not getting paid to do this, since basically it's a struggle to keep the thing on the air, I'll tell you, it's letters like that, correspondence like that, that keeps us going. Please let us know what you think about us. Let us know if you think we're making a difference. Let's try to get the word out to as many people as possible. Get people to tune in, get on the internet. We're always ranked in the top 10 for internet traffic during our time slot in the entire world. So consequently, the message is getting out. We've just got to find a way to get people beyond their fear and trepidation about speaking out on these issues, because really, Western civilization and civilization as we know it in the world today is what's at stake.
Well, Keith, that's very rightly said, and I think we have a good blend here. There was no plan that went into the formula that we've developed, but we try to cover the most sensitive topics, the taboo issues, and speak with them with a degree of candor and frankness that other people just won't do, and we cut through the political hypocrisy, the racial hypocrisy that exists in our country today, but we also try to do it even though these issues are so, well, incredibly troubling. We try to do it with a sense of humor and fellowship, and anyway, people pick up on that. We always like to open up the segment, the first segment of each show, with a little friendly banter and a reading of a little bit of the correspondence that come in. But folks, thank you, of course, for your emails and your letters, and those Christmas cards were so great. And obviously for the contributions as well that we've been receiving this month, as we are firmly in the midst of our fourth quarter fundraising drive. So as I said in the letter I sent out to everyone a couple of weeks ago, despite the audience that continues to grow, Keith mentioned, consistently ranked in the top 10 in our time slot. That's not even counting, of course, those who are listening on the terrestrial stations, the AM/FM affiliates that carry us. It's what we're doing here is marvelous. The people have made it happen, and we couldn't be happier. We couldn't be more proud, and you make it a reality each and every week, folks. Coming up this hour, we're going to focus and refocus on the death of Nelson Mandela and the subsequent media coverage that event has sustained over the course of the last several days. Last week, of course, he had just passed a couple of days prior. I was out of town, didn't have access to a computer, so I couldn't really do a lot of research. Keith and I did cover it for a couple of segments last week in the second hour, but we did it sort of a cursory review. We're going to tell you a few of the things about Nelson Mandela that you don't know, that is rooted in fact, not the myth that we've been subjected to by all of the media. All of the media. And what we're going to do is something that you would have figured one outlet would have done. We are going to read to you the official charges that came from the indictment that was served to Nelson Mandela when he went into court. And so we're going to read those charges that resulted in his imprisonment and tell you a little more about that. You know, no one is infallible. Everyone. There is two sides to every man. People have fans, people have detractors. So for the entire media to speak with one voice and deify this man and to give him sainthood, obviously you know something is askew. And we're going to tell you just how bad it is when we come back. Folks, get ready for an awesome and powerful political cesspool tonight.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the
night. A song there from the great Bobby Helms. A song that makes me think of an iconic Christmas movie. That is the opening song in Lethal Weapon. And I think we all think of Lethal Weapon when we think about Christmas. But, you know, it's hard to contrast Christmas music, that upbeat and uplifting, to a critique of Nelson Mandela, but somehow we will try to blend the two together. But here's the thing, folks, about Nelson Mandela that no one told you about in the wake of his passing. The fact is, as we wrote on our blog, that Amnesty International refused to take on Nelson Mandela's case because they asserted that he was no political prisoner, but had committed numerous violent crimes and had had a fair trial and received a reasonable sentence. Nelson Mandela was the head of the terrorist wing of the ANC and the South African Communist Party. He pleaded guilty to 156 acts, pleaded guilty, mind you, to 156 acts of public violence, including mobilizing terrorist bombing campaigns, which planted bombs in public places, including the Johannesburg railway station. Many innocent people, including women and children, were killed by Mandela's terrorist team. South African President P.W. Botha had, on a number of occasions, offered Nelson Mandela freedom from prison if he would only renounce terrorist violence. Mandela refused. I'm going to read you, just very quickly, and toss it over to Keith, the list of charges, and they read as follows. Mandela was charged with one count under the South African Suppression of Communism Act, charging that the accused committed acts calculated to further the achievement of the objective of communism, one count of contravening the South African Criminal Law Act, which prohibits any person from soliciting or receiving any money or articles for the purpose of achieving organized defiance of laws in country, two counts of sabotage, committing or aiding the procuring of commission of the following acts, which included recruitment for persons for training and instruction both within and outside the Republic of South Africa in the preparation, manufacture, and use of explosives for the committing of acts of violence and destruction in the aforesaid Republic, the art of warfare, including guerrilla warfare, military training for the purpose of terrorism, further acts of violence and destruction, which includes 193 counts of terrorism committed in the two-year span between 1961 and 1963. And it just goes on and on and on from there, folks. That was read directly from the indictment, the State versus Nelson Mandela, which was presented in the Supreme Court of South Africa. That's a piece of factual history, Keith, and that is one thing that you did not hear one outlet other than alternative radio mentioned this week, as the media apparently competes to see who can worship most fervently at the altar of Mandela. And then there's even YouTube clips, and we've got one on our website, Mandela singing with clenched fists a song that chants for the death of the Boer people, which was, of course, the white South Africans and white Rhodesians.
James, Sir John Harrington said back in the year 1600, he was the inventor of the flush toilet, treason never prospers. What's the reason? For when it prospers, none dare call it treason. Nelson Mandela personifies that observation by just Sir John Harrington. He was a traitor. He was committing treason. He was trying to overthrow the established government of South Africa at the time. And as a traitor, he deserved death, and that was the prescribed punishment for many of the crimes that he pled guilty to. Basically, white guilt and soft-heartedness prevented him from getting his just deserts. He was responsible for the deaths of innumerable people, white and black, in South Africa due to the ANC's indiscriminate bombing campaign, which he oversaw and specifically approved, including the bombing of the Johannesburg train station that you just mentioned, in which 19 people, 8 black men, 9 white men, and 2 women were killed. Now, if you or I or anyone else that you can name, particularly any conservative, were guilty of doing what Nelson Mandela did, if they had done 1/10 or 1/100 of what Nelson Mandela did, if we planted a bomb, for example, that killed 19 people, is there any doubt that we would go to the execution dock, that we would either be gassed to death or get a lethal injection or whatever? Absolutely not. This man was as fortunate as anyone could be. His crimes were legendary in South Africa. They were whitewashed by the international media. He brings to mind another saying by a famous person, Seneca, the Roman poet Seneca. Successful and fortunate crime is called virtue. Then Honoré de Balzac, the French novelist, said, behind every great fortune there lies a great crime. Nelson Mandela had a great fortune by the time he died, and he's supposedly this great reconciler. That is the spin that the mainstream media is giving to him. In real life, that's a very dubious conclusion to make. I saw time and again over the past week and a half a clip of Nelson Mandela addressing a crowd saying, "People of South Africa, get your guns, get your bullets, and throw them in the sea." Well, he said that. But under what circumstances did he say it? Did he say it when the ANC was fighting the white apartheid government and conducting this bombing campaign and this massacring campaign and this violent campaign to overthrow the government? No, he never said it then. Did he say it after the black anti-apartheid government was in place and white people Afrikaners in particular were being slaughtered by machete-wielding gangs of blacks. No, the silence was deafening from Nelson, good old Nelson Mandela, the harbinger of peace, love, and understanding that he's supposed to be. Not a peep out of Nelson Mandela. He said that comment only in an interim period when the apartheid government was falling and black groups within South Africa were jockeying among themselves as to who was going to wind up King of the Hill in charge of the South African government. That's when he said, get your guns and bullets and throw them in the sea, when black people were killing other black people. When black people were killing white people, the silence was deafening from dear old Saint Mandela.
Well, another thing that's just so hypocritical about this, the media loves to talk about apartheid South Africa, where, yes, the races were separate. And, I, you know, you could make a very compelling case that all South Africans, black and white, were better off then. Certainly the whites were. They're just being butchered. You know, there's genocide taking place in South Africa now, and people turned a blind eye to it. All right, but the thing about apartheid, well, they hated that, right? The media hated it. The global community denounced it, or at least the global elite denounced it. Let's be clear. They hate apartheid. Well, Israel's an apartheid state. I wonder why they're not speaking out about an existing apartheid state. They love to talk about slavery that existed nearly 200 years ago here in this country. There's still slavery that exists today, state-sanctioned slavery, all in exclusively black countries. Not a peep about that either, Keith.
Well, we've got a break coming up now. I can't wait to sink my teeth into that one because I've got quite a few things to say about the role of Jewish power and influence in the anti-apartheid movement. But we'll tell you all about that after these words from our sponsors.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, when you blend in Christmas music with the sound of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, you know you've got pure magic. And so we give you a little bit of that magic here on the Political Cesspool tonight, our second-to-last broadcast before the great and holy day of Christmas where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we have here, Keith, now another Christ-like figure, if you believe the media's telling of the tale, that being the terrorist Nelson Mandela. And it's one thing to throw out adjectives. Now, I know, you know, here in America, you're a terrorist, or at least suspected of perhaps holding terrorist tendencies if you have a Ron Paul bumper sticker or a, you know, abolish the Federal Reserve bumper sticker. I mean, those are what they liken to terrorists here in America. But over there, you can be a legitimate terrorist if you're just anti-white, and then you will die a Christ-like figure and receive, you know, certainly Nelson Mandela receives more respect and adulation from the media than Jesus Christ himself. And we were talking before the break about it truly is the case, as Bob Whitaker so often says, the establishment, the elites, the governments, the media, they're not anti-racist, they are anti-white. They don't have a problem with slavery because it still exists in black countries and you never hear a word about it. They don't have a problem with apartheid, as they pretended to in South Africa, because it exists in Israel, and Israel, just like Mandela is deified as a person, Israel is deified as a nation. So explain the hypocrisies there, Keith, if you can.
Well, you need to get back to this. Why was the anti-apartheid movement in an obscure corner of the world like South Africa so riveting to the elites of the world, to the liberal elites who are in charge of the world? I've said it. There is no doubt about it. Globalism is the ultimate aim of liberalism, and globalism is intended to be served by liberalism. Liberalism is moving us inexorably towards globalism. But why all this interest in what's happening in this far corner of the world called South Africa? Well, Jewish power and influence is the driving force behind liberalism. Liberalism's finest hour was the American Civil Rights Movement. That is their most complete, their signal, their model victory, if you will. It is the model of all radical egalitarian movements. All other radical egalitarian movements turn to the Civil Rights Movement for inspiration. And whenever a liberal radical egalitarian movement like global warming or animal rights or homosexual rights, anything that the public feels is a bridge too far, what do they always do? What do the liberal leaders always do? They instinctively run back to the Civil Rights Movement. Well, the left decided we need to resuscitate liberalism with another civil rights movement. So what's the thing most like the Civil Rights Movement in the system of racial segregation that we were so effective at demonizing? Well, they focused upon the apartheid system in South Africa and in Rhodesia. And that became the cause célèbre of liberalism in the 80s and 90s until they were wiped out. They put enormous pressure worldwide. And again, just as in the American Civil Rights Movement, Jewish power and influence within South Africa, people like Helen Suzman and Alana Mercer's father, the Rabbi Mercer himself, all basically were prime movers in the anti-apartheid movement. They were key players. They funneled in the money. In fact, there was a Jewish guy that was right up there shoulder to shoulder with Mandela, just like Stanley Levison, a Jewish communist from New York City, was shoulder to shoulder with Martin Luther King. Now, once they got their wish and the anti-apartheid government became ensconced in South Africa, people of all shades of white, including Jews, found it intolerable. The only difference was, if you were a Jew, you had the automatic, inviolate, get-out-of-jail-free card. You could take the next flight to Tel Aviv, and you'd be free and clear and in safe harbor. That's exactly what Alana Mercer, the phony faux conservative who's on the internet, that's exactly what her family did. They went to Israel, and then they eventually got into Canada, and then she got into America. But this is the unfairness of it all. Meanwhile, what happened to all the rest of the white people, the white Gentiles in South Africa? Well, one of the first sanctions leveled against the South African apartheid government by the world community, and particularly the West, was the revocation of British Commonwealth status for the people of South Africa. Therefore, South African whites had no refuge or resource. They had no place to flee to, nowhere to hide, and they're caught, and you can look on the internet today and see what's happened. These people are being slaughtered in their farms by machete-wielding gangs of blacks who want radical redistribution of resources, including farms and other productive capacity in the nation. And white people with PhDs are living in cardboard boxes and plywood huts in makeshift shanty towns, while blacks with less than a high school education are put in charge of large operations with predictable results. If you look at there is a website about Johannesburg and what has happened in Johannesburg, which is the biggest city in South Africa since the fall of the apartheid government. And basically, it looks like Detroit. You see skyscrapers with the windows busted out and squatters living in this, these hulks of formerly grand buildings. You're not getting any fair reporting about this by the news media. Instead, you hear about Saint Mandela. In fact, they've got a biopic coming up on Christmas Day, no less, celebrating Saint Mandela as and will probably eclipse Jesus Christ himself in news coverage. It's like he died right on cue, just like they said about Elvis. Apparently, death was a great career move for Nelson Mandela. And I predict you're going to see his descendants fighting among themselves to survive off the carcass of their father, just like you've seen Martin Luther King's children fighting over the carcass of their dead father, trying to sustain themselves on money based on their being simply descendants of this so-called great man who basically was a great fraud.
Well, there was certainly a racist and brutal figure in South Africa, and it wasn't leaders of the apartheid regime that they are being denounced as. It was certainly the saint himself, Mandela. If South Africa was run by such racist and brutes, they wouldn't have allowed him to serve a sentence and then be released and elected president. They would have done what Mandela's followers have done to their opposition. They would have just macheted them to death right there on the streets. Or in their homes as they slept, just broken into their farms. Yeah. No, that's what racist and brutes do. whatever a racist is, of course. I mean, it's obviously just a white man because they don't have a problem with apartheid in Israel. They don't have a problem with what's going on to the white South Africans. You know, race relations are far worse now in South Africa than they ever were under apartheid. Yes, they live separately, but there wasn't killings on the streets like there are now. But, of course, as the victims are white and the perpetrators are black, that's just all well and good. But you can't have a first-world nation with a third-world population. South Africa proves that point once more. Was in the airport, Keith, before I took off to go to Baltimore last Thursday. And, of course, Mandela had just passed on Thursday night as I was waiting for my flight. And it was on all of the television screens there in the terminal. And a young lady walked by me. I guess she was in her 20s or 30s. And she was on the phone talking with someone else and looked up. And she was a white girl. And just with horror and despair in her voice, said, "Oh, no, Mandela died. That's so sad." I mean, of course, we don't revel or celebrate in the death of anyone. Unlike our enemies, we don't wish death upon our people. And I don't take any joy in the fact that Mandela's gone. It's just that I see him for what he is. And, you know, I even have a little bit of a bad time speaking ill of him now that he is passed. But my God, if the media is going to be this off the rail, there needs to be a little bit of objectivity, and we'll provide it. And we'll be back right after this.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks, but it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling.
Thank God for the music tonight, Keith, because all this talk about Mandela is just about more than my soul can bear. And welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We're live tonight, as always, folks. I tell you, you can count on two things in life: death and taxes. And if you could count on a third, it would be that we will be here with you every Saturday night, because for over 9 years, we have not failed you. And that perseverance of the standing the test of time is something that we're really proud of, and you've made that, again, our audience possible. This is Peter Scoop Stanton's segment, and I have no idea what Scoop wants to talk about tonight, but we're going to get to him in just a fleeting moment. I want to quickly wrap up. I'll tell you know, if Keith Alexander could have been on any of these panels discussing Mandela, I would have paid what little I could afford to see that. You know, this is why the political cesspool exists, to give you an objective and a dispassionate take on issues that matter the most, that no one else is willing to do. You know, they say, you know, the job that other Americans aren't willing to do. Well, we actually do the job that no other Americans are willing to do, and that's tell the truth in public and take the spears and arrows and indignity of being called this name or that name. Because I'll tell you, what passes for the so-called conservative media out there is a farce, folks, and that is putting it very kindly. There was no difference in the coverage of Nelson Mandela's legacy from Fox News to CNN and then the supposedly conservative National Review. And of course, we know that's just a joke, but most people, or not most even, but there are some people still fooled into believing that National Review is a conservative entity. I'm going to read two paragraphs from National Review's take on the death of Mandela, Keith, and then we're going to go to Scoop. This is what National Review wrote. Among world leaders, Nelson Mandela had unmatched moral authority. When George W. Bush awarded him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2002, he said, "It is the moral stature that has made Nelson Mandela perhaps the most revered statesman of our time." That was George Bush, the conservative Bush. Bush could have done without the hedge word perhaps, because Mandela was by far the most revered statement of our time, the conservative National Review continues. Every July 18th is Nelson Mandela Day. The United Nations declared it so. In 2009, Mandela was born. Excuse me, in 2009, the United Nations declared July 18th Nelson Mandela Day. Nelson Mandela was born on July 18th, 1918. The great man died this week at 95. The reverence the world feels for him. See, the whole world feels reverence for Mandela, Keith, and if you don't, there's something wrong about you. And the reason that is because National Review concludes the nature of his adversary, the white racist apartheid government of South Africa. White racism is held to be the greatest evil of our time, and Mandela was a lion against it. That's from a conservative publication. If white racism is the greatest enemy, what's terrorist bombings? That's what Mandela believed in.
Yeah, I thought we were all supposed to be race neutral now, and that we're to be judged by the content of our character rather than the color of our skin. Apparently, whites are the great enemy of everybody, of peace, justice, order, and everything else. You know, I was listening to a black talk show on the way in here, and you would think that every calamity, every misfortune that has befallen black people individually and the black race in particular generally was the caused by white people, when actually every fortunate thing in the lives of black people was caused by white people. It's just the exact mirror image, the absolute opposite, the 180 degrees from the way it is portrayed. Now, you would think, for example, that if Nelson Mandela should be celebrated if race war against whites and the extermination of the white race is your goal. And apparently that's the goal of elites worldwide now. The elites at the National Review, as well as the elites at CNN or MSNBC or in the U.S. government or in the Swiss government or in any African government, any government anywhere. Fidel Castro's government in Cuba, all of these places. See, this is all that has happened in, you know, the world since, you know, there's been this complete fruit basket turnover over the past 70 years, and now white people have come down to the, you know, the very bottom of the totem pole in terms of legal rights. Now, I understand we have Scoop Stanton on the line hanging in. Is that right, James?
I certainly hope so. Scoop, pardon us for the delay in getting to you. What do you have in store for us tonight, my friend?
Good evening, Cesspool family. Well, I'm going to change gears and talk about Nelson Mandela. here's my two cents on Mr. Mandela. Nelson Mandela helped turn a first world nation that discriminated against blacks into a third world hellhole that killed white people.
There you go.
But speaking of Mr. Mandela, thanks to American Renaissance, there is a story on the website concerning the Mandela family. Seems like before the body of Mr. Mandela assumed room temperature, his children were fighting over his vast
fortune. Well, Scoop, were you listening to Keith earlier in the show?
No,
Keith, you got to interject very quickly. Not to interrupt you again, Scoop, but what you just said was prophetic.
Look, it's as predictable as the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, Scoop. I said that Mandela's children would be trying to feed off the carcass of their famous father, just like Martin Luther King's progeny have been fighting publicly and, in a very bad way for years over their feeding rights on the carcass of their dead father. This is, they're ghouls, basically. They want to live on the, reputation and on royalties based on using their father's images. This seems to be the new scam. And, this shows you how heroic and how good these people really are and are not. They basically have raised a den of vipers for their children who have nothing but greed to animate them.
Tell us more about the story, Scoop.
Well, you can read it on Amarin.com, but I got a couple other juicy tidbits.
All right.
As y'all know, I'm a subscriber on SiriusXM, and SiriusXM talk program will not carry the political cesspool despite the fact they have no programming on its time slot, and we offered the show for absolutely nothing. But even though I talk business on the air, SiriusXM on channel 111 has a tribute to Mr. Mandela, and I'm looking at my car radio right now, XM 111 Mandela. next point, there's a movie about drummer Ginger Baker, who was in Cream and Blind Faith, called Beware of Mr. Baker. And most of it was shot at his farm in South Africa. If you watch this movie, the entrance of his farm is an absolute fortress. And as he's driving his Range Rover around the town he lives in, it looks absolutely wonderful. Not. Last and not least, we all remember the Sun City song started by Little Steven Van Zandt. Well, it turns out back in the 80s, one of my favorite bands, Black Sabbath, played Sun City. Of course, it wasn't the original lineup, but way to go, Tony Iommi. Back to you in the studio.
Well, between Scoop Stanton, myself, and Keith Alexander, we have offered a counterpoint to the establishment take on Mandela. And I don't mean a conservative liberal take, because they are all in the tank. And when there is not one voice of opposition, or of at least of a different opinion on the matter of a historical figure, you know there is a conspiracy going on, and that you know that they're all on the same team and playing for the same puppet masters. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be in with us during the third hour. We're going to cover a couple of different topics in the second, but when we will circle back before the end of the program with Eddie in the third hour and talk a little bit more about Mandela. But yeah, listen, folks, somebody's got to do it. It's the dirty work. It's why it's the political cesspool. It's the work Americans just don't want to do, and we're doing it. Scoop, any last word from you before we go to that end of the first hour break?
Yes, if you look in the New York Post edition of December the 12th, you'll read about the justice gone awry. As we all know, there's a judicial activism. There's a man who put an innocent white man in jail, defend himself against a black man. Also, next week, I'll bring a blast from the past concerning Rachel Maddow and the D.C. Metro system, which I have to ride 5 days a week. Whoopee.
We will look forward to that already, Scoop. And next week, of course, will be the last program we have before Christmas. So we expect you to be wearing a Santa Claus hat when you call in for your slot next Saturday night.
How about a Grinch hat?
You do. Well, Keith's dressed up almost like Santa right now. He's got this red flannel. Oh, is that a flannel shirt?
It is.
It sure does look comfortable. And anyway, so we're getting into it wardrobe style here as well.
Let me tell you a joke about Christmas. I saw this on a cocktail napkin, and I think it was great. It said, "Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is a skinny body and a fat bank account. Don't get it mixed up like last year."
Very good, Keith. And Scoop, we love you, brother. Have a great rest of your evening and week, and we will reconnect with you 7 days from now. Folks, for the rest of you, still much more to come on the Political Cesspool radio program with or without the aid of Sirius XM or any other establishment media venues. The Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio is skyrocketing in popularity, and let's keep the train going and see where this ride takes us. We'll be back right after this.
In the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.